Welcome to the Trolling BA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose, A Newha, aka the trillest NBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Everybody, thank you so much for coming back to the show. I am so excited. We are continuing our deep dive into Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And baby, when I tell you, I'm just like, they should just be teaching classes on this stuff for real, because this is the information you need to get ahead in your career. And so today we pick back up. We're in part three of this book, which is called How to Win People to Your Way of Thinking. And when I tell you, me reviewing this for the umpteenth time just reminds me of things that I forget to do on a day-to-day basis. So I hope that you guys are getting a lot out of this series. And today, we're going to dive into principles 7, 8, and 9 of part 3 of this book. But first, spotlight. Today, I want to highlight Jackie Wright, Chief Digital Officer at Microsoft. Is a sister, y'all, the Chief Digital Officer. You better work. Jackie Wright is a global technology leader who has made broad impact in business transformation and on social issues. She currently serves as the Corporate Vice President and Chief Digital Officer for Microsoft US. In her role, she inspires and leads teams to help businesses leverage technology to drive innovation, adopt sustainable and accessible business models, and digitally transform. Jackie has extensive experience leading large-scale organizations, driving digital transformation, and market-making solutions. Her career spans senior technology leadership roles across many industries, including CIO roles at Microsoft, BP, and GE. Jackie is a member of the board of directors for Invent PLC, board of trustees for Harvey Mudd College, and the MXD Manufacturing Council. She also serves on various technical advisory boards. And understand, guys, Jackie is not just skin folk. Jackie is also kinfolk. She spends a lot of time driving people to understand what the equitable future should be and could be. And she is a champion for digitally making sure that people have access to all this technology that is transforming our culture, our society, and our lives. So I am excited to highlight Jackie Wright, Chief Digital Officer at Microsoft US, in our Corporate Warrior Spotlight. I don't know Jackie, but I can tell she's a badass. So if anybody knows her, please let her know that she's been featured on the show, and hopefully one day I will get to meet her. Now, let's dive into our first segment, guys. I have so much to tell y'all because I have all these feelings. Because you got to understand, when you read this book, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, you will be reading and be like, this man is definitely white in the early 1900s. He talking about Woodrow Wilson and Taft and like these presidents and these white man names that definitely are like colonial, right? So like... like the stories he tells, like he tells a story about Al Capone, and well, I'm like, Al Capone, right? So don't get distracted by all that, because in between all these stories he tells to illustrate his points, are like real nuggets that's what I want to drive home, and those are important parts. And regardless of time, space, race, gender, however you identify, at the end of the day, regardless of who wants to recognize it or not, we are all human. And the things that he talks about hit on a human level. And our job is to work to use these things to get to where we're trying to go in our career. That is why I'm doing this series. That is why this is so important. This is why I'm a stickler for these tenets, because even though we have all these constructs and all these boxes around us telling us how we should be, who we should identify with, what we should show up as, you know, at the end of the day, we are all human, and human behavior is very predictable. And this is why this book is so helpful if you think through it and apply it to your career management journey. All right, so principle 7 is about how to get cooperation. And the principle is, let the other person feel that the idea is his or hers. And so in this section, Dale Carnegie starts out, "Don't you have much more faith in ideas that you discover for yourself than in ideas that are handed to you on a silver platter? If so, isn't it bad judgment to try to ram your opinions down the throats of other people? Isn't it wiser to make suggestions and let the other person think out the conclusion?" I'm gonna pause there. I want you to think about that for a minute. Because he goes on to say, "No one likes to feel like he or she is being sold something or told to do a thing. We much prefer to feel that we are buying of our own accord or acting on our own ideas. We like to be consulted about our wishes, our wants, our thoughts." So when you're at work, what this means is, if you are managing projects, if you are trying to get an idea through the organization, you have to let go of this, "Y'all should just do this because it's the right thing to do," or "You should just do this, like I know what I'm doing." Or like, a lot of times we end up very frustrated because we know what the right thing to do is. We know what would be successful. But however, comma, people are not listening to us. And this happens to us a lot, right? But when I went back and I revisited this section, I even realized for myself in my current situation, like, I need to take a step back and really work to have people understand that this is their idea. Now, one thing I want you to be cautious of, and it's one thing we need to be cautious of, that Dale Carnegie didn't have to be cautious of. It's okay to let somebody think it's their idea, right? And run with it and get the credit and all that stuff. And like, even in here, he talks about a man named Colonel Edward M. House and how he influenced Woodrow Wilson, the president of the United States at the time. And he had this enormous influence on him. And Wilson would lean on him for advice and counsel in secret, right? And so Dale Carnegie goes on to talk about Colonel House and an interview that he did for the Saturday Evening Post. Now, I don't know if that's in D.C. I don't know if that's in New York. Who knows, right? I think it might be in New York. But in the interview, Colonel House said, "After I got to know the president, I learned the best way to convert him to an idea was to plant it in his mind casually, but so as to interest him in it, so as to get him thinking about it on his own account. The first time this worked, it was an accident. I had been visiting him at the White House and urged a policy on him, which he appeared to disapprove. But several days later, at the dinner table, I was amazed to hear him trot out my suggestion as his own. Did House interrupt him and say, "That's not your idea, that's mine"? Oh no, not House. He was too adroit for that. He didn't care about credit. He wanted results. So he let Wilson continue to feel that the idea was his. House did even more than that. He gave Wilson public credit for these ideas. Let's remember that everyone we come in contact with is just as human as Woodrow Wilson. So let's use Colonel House's technique. This is why I love this book, right? Because this is key. But now here's where the book kind of fails us, especially Black women, right? Who should be listening to this podcast? Welcome you all. I know others are out there listening. Hi, how y'all doing? But you got to understand, when is it that you need the result? And when is it that you are driving your narrative in the organization? And you have to discern when to let people run with the idea and claim it and take it, and when you need to take credit for your work. And so, as a white man, there isn't really a detriment there, right? For most white men, I will say. If somebody runs with their idea, what will tend to happen is, like here with this relationship between House and Wilson, right? He became this trusted advisor. He was known to have this enormous influence on the president of the United States. So he got all kinds of the credit because he drove the results. So like there was never going to be a barrier in his career that would stop him from being, you know, great in his own right, yielding this influence and letting Woodrow Wilson take the credit for his ideas. But for us, it doesn't quite happen that way. So the person you're trying to influence is your boss or your one-up boss or even your two-up boss, right? So your boss's boss's boss. If you are seeding these ideas in conversation, being a trusted advisor, but then that person or those people, those leaders are not bringing you along, you know, they get promoted, you get promoted, or you know, they see an opportunity. They're not returning this favor that you're giving them by making them look so smart and so great. Then that's when you have to take a step back and be like, okay, I'm not getting what I want. I've got to deploy some different tactics.
Recalculating.
Right? And you've got to build some different relationships. You've got to let people know that you are this influence behind what they're doing and the success that they're taking credit for. So again, you really have to pay attention when you're honing these tactics and you're working through how to work your company's organization, understanding their corporate culture, where you fit in and who you are. And this ties back to the series with Attorney Anitra in legal therapy. So if you haven't listened to that, I highly encourage you to go ahead and binge that. It is a wonderful series and walking you through just some very practical things you need to know from a emotional and legal standpoint, okay? But for right now, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we are going to talk about seeing things from the other person's point of view. And I don't know about you, but this one is difficult when you're dealing with people you don't like. But we're going to talk about it when we get back from the break. Hey guys, I have to tell you, I just finished watching Attorney Anitra's masterclass. And when I tell you, I'm mad that I didn't know this stuff years ago, like game changer. Like we're talking about how to document. We're talking about how the process of thinking through how to fight for your rights in the workplace. When I tell you she breaks this down so well and gives you the framework and then tells you what you need to do to protect yourself and get your coins, when I tell you, for me, this is a game changer. And I am definitely going to be incorporating these principles and practices into how I coach people, especially people who are in a sticky situation. I mean, we're talking pips, we're talking can't get promoted. And this new term, quiet firing, oh my God, how many of y'all know people who are being actively pushed out of their organizations, but on the low low? So like, they're taking projects away from you. They're, you know, murmurs about you. Like, people stop talking to you. They stop responding to your emails. When I tell you Attorney Anitra has the plan and the blueprint, this is it. So if you have not signed up for this masterclass, what are you waiting for? Like, get in there, get this knowledge, and then get your best possible outcome at work, which means get your money, okay? And don't let work work you. You work work. So boss up, get this information. The link to the masterclass is in the bio. It is worth every investment and time, and it's not long. It's short information, but it's to the point, and I'm telling you, do not wait. Go sign up for this masterclass. Take this masterclass right now. The link is in the show notes. Now, let's get back to the show. All right, welcome back from the break, guys. Thanks for coming back. Listen, we are still on how to win friends and influence people. We are in part 3 of this book, and we are on now principle 8. The last principle, principle 7, let the other person feel that the idea is his or hers. But, you know, we talked about those caveats. So make sure you're getting credit for your work when you need to get credit for your work. Okay. Now, the 8th principle in this part of the book. Try honestly to see things from the other person's point of view. Yeah. The title of the section is a formula that will work wonders for you. And it will. To me, this is the first thing that I do when I am helping people troubleshoot their particular situation, right? When I'm working with a client and we are strategizing about what they should do and what they should say, I start asking questions about the person that they have to talk to. And I'm trying to scan my brain, is scanning from what they're telling me, how the person shows up, to get an understanding of their personality type. And you can really figure out somebody's personality and their type if you just pay attention to how they talk, how they react to things, the things that they say. You can start to pick up on their insecurities, and then you start understanding how insecurity drives them and how it makes them show up. So, like, for example, I was talking with a client of mine, and they have a manager who is like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And the crazy thing is, their manager is the only person on the senior leadership team, the C-suite team. The only person of color on this team is a bunch of white men. And then they hired this woman of color, you know, optics. But now this woman of color is acting funky with my client, who is also a woman of color. And even though it's very clear, my client has been playing the game. My client is very smart, and her manager likes her a lot, as much as her manager can like anybody that she didn't hire. And so you start to think through the situation. Okay, so here's a new manager to the organization. They feel like they have something to prove, that they need to prove something. They're the only person of color in this senior leadership. they really don't know what they're doing, right? And that's the funny thing. Most senior leaders don't know what they're doing. They don't. Like, they are paid to solve problems, but being a problem solver doesn't mean you know what you're doing. You are literally troubleshooting and trying to solve problems. You are literally ITing life, right? Like, you are tech supporting business situations. But there's this need to posture and to pretend that you do know what you're doing, right? And it's sad because this person has a team of people who were there before her and who are quite capable, have been getting great results, had been driving the business. And instead of listening to them, this leader is coming in and trying to make their own mark because they have something to prove, right? So again, I asked a couple of questions to get to that analysis. And when I broke that down to my client, I was like, so here's how you have to approach this based on this tenet right here. Because I am trying to honestly see things from the other person's point of view. Dale Carnegie starts out, remember that other people may be totally wrong, but they don't think so. Don't condemn them. Any fool can do that. Try to understand them. Only wise, tolerant, exceptional people even try to do that. There is a reason why the other man thinks and acts as he does. Ferret out that reason, and you have the key to his actions, perhaps to his personality. Try honestly to put yourself in his place. If you say to yourself, how would I feel? How would I react if I were in his shoes? You will save yourself time and irritation by becoming interested in the cause, we are less likely to dislike the effect. And in addition, you will sharply increase your skill in human relationships, which is what I have been preaching to you guys for a long time. Because let me tell you something. The thing that I love about this book and these things is it transcends the fact that I'm Black. It transcends the fact that I'm a woman. It brings us back to human nature. And human nature, if you understand it in all its context, human nature will always trump the social constructs that we live under. I know it's hard. Why we gotta do all this? Why we gotta go through all this? Can't we just live? And the answer is no, we can't. Because if we could, I wouldn't have to do this podcast. But listen, the key in this section is on my page 165. Dale Carnegie writes, tomorrow, before asking anyone to put out a fire or buy your product or contribute to your favorite charity, why not pause and close your eyes and try to think the whole thing through from another person's point of view? Ask yourself, why should he or she want to do it? It being what I'm asking them to do. True, this will take time and energy. But it will avoid making enemies and will get better results. And with less friction and less shoe leather. Now, that less shoe leather thing, I don't get that. That is early 1900s white man phrase that my 2000s Black girl I'm gonna have to Google that, y'all. I don't know what that means. But Dale Carnegie goes on to say at the end of this section, if as a result of reading this book, you get only one thing, an increased tendency to think always in terms of the other person's point of view and see things from that person's angle as well as your own. If you get only that one thing from this book, it may easily prove to be one of the stepping stones of your career. He ain't lying, y'all. Every time I have sat and thought through, either for me or for my clients, I'm telling you, the results are magical. And so I want you to understand that if you just take a beat and think it through, do you know how many people don't think? Like, it's like a disease, the not thinking disease. Don't be afflicted by that disease. Sit and think through things. I am constantly troubleshooting. That's what I call it. It's me troubleshooting. I do it way better for other people, I will admit. It's so much easier for me to see through from the information I'm given from a client. And I can just tell them like this. And in my own situations, I get caught up in my emotion. And so here you got to understand, if you do this tactic correctly, thinking through the whole thing through the other person's point of view, you have to, you are forced to take the emotion out of whatever situation is happening. And this becomes very difficult when it is a contentious situation and you feel disrespected and you feel cheated and you feel dehumanized. This becomes difficult and you have to practice. So you start small and small interactions that don't mean much to you, and you build this muscle. But this is a very important muscle to build. And if you build it, you will see the results. I promise you. But you have to practice it all the time. And you can practice it in your personal life too. It works as well. I'm constantly trying to understand, okay, what is this person trying to do? A lot of times when I ask my clients, okay, what do you want? And I listen to how they answer that question, and it gives me a lot of information on how to work with them and what their point of view is. That's another reason why my clients are very, very happy with their success. And they really start to understand this process of learning and understanding the humans that you work with and their behavior and why they do the things they do. It is a game changer. I can't stress that enough. So now we're going to take a quick break, pay some bills. When we get back, the most important thing that will help you on this journey of winning people to your way of thinking when we get back from the break. Hey, my Patreon listeners. Oh my God. I have been on break. I owe you guys tremendously. First, I just want to say thank you for being a patron of the Trill and BA Show. Without your contributions, Chris might not get paid. No, we're going to pay. We're going to make sure Chris gets paid. But I just want to tell you guys, I really appreciate y'all. And if you love this show and if you've gotten value out of the show, you've gotten a promotion from this show, you've got off a pip because of the show. So if I saved your job, I help you get a new job, I help you get a raise, please, please, please become a patron of the Trill NBA Show. I'm constantly trying to figure out with my team what we are doing for our Patreons. Bear with me and trust me, the day one Patreons, I got special stuff for y'all coming out in the new year. I promise, I promise, I promise. You know, y'all just keep riding with me, rocking with me. I got y'all. I appreciate the support. I appreciate everybody for listening to the show. I'm glad that it is a blessing to you as much as you guys have been a blessing to me. Okay? So, with that said, go to the link in the show notes. If you are not a patron, become a patron. And let's get back to the show. And we are back, guys. All right, let's wrap up this show. We have Principle 9. The title of this Principle 9 section is What Everybody Wants. And to me, this is the most important thing. So Dale Carnegie starts this section out. Wouldn't you like to have a magic phrase that would stop arguments, eliminate ill feeling, create goodwill, and make the other person listen attentively? Yes? All right, here it is. I don't blame you one iota for feeling as you do. If I were you, I would undoubtedly feel just as you do. An answer like that will soften the most cantankerous old cuss alive. And you can say that and be 100% sincere. Because if you were the other person, you, of course, would feel just as he does. And then this is where Dale Carnegie goes into this Al Capone example. He says, take Al Capone, for example. Suppose you had inherited the same body and temperament and mind that Al Capone had. Suppose you had had his environment and experiences. You would then be precisely what he was and where he was. For it is those things and only those things that made him what he was. The only reason, for example, that you are not a rattlesnake is that your mother and father weren't rattlesnakes. You deserve very little credit for being what you are. And remember, the people who come to you irritated, bigoted, unreasoning, deserve very little discredit for being what they are. Feel sorry for the poor devils. Pity them. Sympathize with them. Say to yourself, therefore, but for the grace of God, go I. 3/4 of the people you will ever meet are hungering and thirsting for sympathy. Give it to them, and they will love you. The most important thing is to give people sympathy and grace. I can't tell you how far this goes. But on the flip side, the thing that people don't understand is that you also need to ask for grace. Okay? You also need to walk with grace. So give yourself grace and give other people grace. And ask for grace, and you will get grace. We especially have to remind people that we need grace. And in that act, as people of color, we are forcing people to recognize our humanity. So that's very important. The other thing that I want to recognize in this chapter and the other principal chapters, sections. I don't know whether to call them chapters or sections, y'all. But the other thing I notice about these tactics and the examples that Dale Carnegie gives, and this is something I've noticed about human behavior. When you have a situation where somebody's upset at you, or somebody, like, they're holding on to what their thought is, and they're coming on strong, and they're probably wrong, and that's fine. But human behavior, the way we are as humans, there's this bit of combativeness in our system that triggers us. Even when we actually don't agree, it will trigger us to be contrary. So, for example, Dale Carnegie talks about how he uses sympathy to trigger this in this woman. So he was on a broadcast and he was talking about Louisa May Alcott, the author of Little Women, and he mentioned that she was from New Hampshire instead of Massachusetts. And people were pissed. Instead of Concord, Massachusetts, he said Concord, New Hampshire. And so this woman wrote this very insulting letter to him and just really, you know, went off on him for this mistake, and she took it very personally. And so he was like, you know, as I read the letter, I said to myself, thank God I'm not married to that woman. I felt like writing and telling her that although I had made a mistake in geography, she had made a far greater mistake in common courtesy. And I guess that's supposed to be very insulting for 1930s, I guess. And then he goes on to say, that was to be just my opening sentence. Then I was going to roll up my sleeves and tell her what I really thought. But I didn't. I controlled myself. I realized that any hot-headed fool could do that. and that most fools would do just that. I wanted to be above fools, so I resolved to try to turn her hostility into friendliness. It would be a challenge, a sort of game I could play. I said to myself, after all, if I were she, I would probably feel just as she does. So I determined to sympathize with her point of view. So that's the tactic, right? I hope y'all caught that. The next time I was in Philadelphia, I called her on the telephone and the conversation went a little something like this. And I'm not going to read all of that, but basically he apologized profusely, right? So he called her up. Miss So-and-so, you wrote me a letter and I want to thank you for it. And then she was like, to whom I have the honor of speaking? And then he was like, I'm a stranger to you. My name is Del Carnegie. You listened to my broadcast. You wrote me this letter. And I just want to apologize to you for the mistake I made. So this is the thing. Couple things, right? He called her up and confronted her about her bad behavior. But he didn't do it in a way like, I'm calling you because you over here acting a fool and I'm going to tell you about yourself. Oh, no, no, no. He was too cool for that. He was like, hey, I'm calling you. I know you were upset and I just want to acknowledge that and I apologize. And then she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was just so upset and I'm so sorry. And then she started profusely apologizing for the letter she wrote. Had he called her and been like, you know, you wrote this letter and I don't appreciate this letter you wrote and I just made a mistake, but I don't understand why you had to go off on me like this. Like it was just rude, blah, blah, blah. Had he told the truth, like point blank directly, then she would have been on the defense and she would have been contrary and been like, well, I stand by my letter and you're an asshole and blah, blah, whatever, whatever. That's human behavior. That's how humans act. And it was so funny because I was talking to one of my classmates the other day and I remembered an incident that happened during the whole pandemic, the thick of the panty and social justice colliding at the same time. And there was a situation where people were mad at me for an article that I wrote about them. And so, you know, I go to my trusted advisors and I was like, okay, let's play this out. I have my point of view, but let me try to understand the other people's point of view. And when I understood the other people's point of view, I was like, okay, so they want to talk to me. I'm going to apologize. I was going into the conversation and I was going to apologize. But as I explained to my classmate the other day, when I went to, you know, have this conversation with these people, they put me on the defense. They like came at me sideways and they came at other people sideways and I just went off. And it just made the situation worse. And I didn't follow this. Okay, guys. Did not follow this. I was like, let me tell you something. What you're not going to do is. And I had all the best of intentions. I was very cool-headed, level-headed going into it. And then my emotion got me. And I just went off. And I still think I was justified in that moment because you was talking mad crazy. So if you talk mad crazy, then I mean, this is what you get. Because at the end of the day, you gonna need me before I need you. That was the type of situation it was. Trust and believe. And so when I think back on it, the lesson I learned is that when you are upset, somebody did something wrong to you, don't come at them the expected negative emotion filled way. This is why I always tell people start out with like, if you're upset, start out with, hey, help me understand. Seek for understanding in those instances. And when you understand and you know the person was wrong for what they did, or you know what you were wrong, like if you know there was something in there that you were wrong to, apologize. Just, hey, I was wrong. I'm sorry. And if they are mad, I mean, what they gonna do? Cuss you out for apologizing? No, again, it becomes contrary, right? It's like, you're apologizing. Wait, you're apologizing? Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sorry. Now I gotta beat you at being sorry, right? Like humans are crazy, but like, this is how people will react at times. A lot of times, most of the time, like you can pretty much predict how people are going to react, especially when they are really in the wrong. Like, they know they're wrong too, right? So he apologized for and sympathized with her point of view. And then she began apologizing and sympathizing. So people will mirror you in a lot of ways. So I want you guys to remember that sympathy and grace go a very, very long way. And that is the most important thing. So now look, guys, I want you guys to have a great week. We're winding down. October is almost gone already. I was like, we just got here. We just got pumpkin spice. I don't want to see no goddamn Christmas trees. I've already seen them. This is it. 2022, y'all. It's about to be a wrap. Like, quickly here. God willing, God bless us and keep us. So again, start, if you don't have How to Win Friends and Influence People, first of all, this whole book is online somewhere for free. They've got audio versions of it online. Like, there's no excuse for you not to get into all this good lessons and really dig in for yourself. I love the language that he gives, right? On how to approach people, how to say things. And you can take that and modify it for how you talk. And it really is helpful. So again, guys, use this as a resource to really get the things that you need to get out of your career. There's no reason for you not to have influence in the organization that you work and to really use that influence for good and to use that influence to get promoted and paid. That's why we're here. So now, if you need some help or advice about a specific situation, I'm not taking coaching calls right now. I'm trying to get my life situated, get it together. But if you have a question, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question or connect you to the right person if I don't have the answer. Again, that's ask@trillmba.com to submit your question or concern. I am taking listener letters. I love getting them. Please keep sending them in. I will do some shows where I feature these listener letters after we've kind of worked through some of the things that y'all are writing me about so that we can show the results, right? So again, if you have a listener letter, put listener letter in the subject line so I know that you are open to have me read that on the show and will not use your name or your company's name because we're not trying to jeopardize your livelihood, right? We want to get you paid and promoted always. So with that said, guys, until next time, keep it trill. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.